Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Thursday, December 12th. I'm Sean Carey. In just a moment, we'll hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in contact with us by email. It is stevejones at wkok.com, the address. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. You can also subscribe to our free podcast. If you miss any portions of the live show, when you hit the subscribe button, when you search Steve Jones Show on either the Apple Podcast app or Google Play, we'll drop the shows right to your mobile device, and also you get access to at least 3 months of previous shows by going to our website at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5, then we'll have the late day news roundup for you. And then tonight, a talk to Santa, the boys and girls with the Magic Radio and Ann Blue, just beginning at 6. And then tonight at 7:09, give or take a minute, Kevin Herr and the Chief Dave Ritchie have more live Shikellamy basketball coverage for you here on WKOK. And once they are done, we'll immediately go to the Thursday night NFL matchup between the Jets and the Baltimore Ravens. Get you the live Westwood One coverage to wrap up the night here on WKOK. Glad that you are here. Got a special show today. By the way, we will have some special guests lined up throughout the rest of the week, including Ryan Snyder. Get the latest on Penn State recruiting, because next week is National Letter of Intent Day on Wednesday. And also, we'll hear from the outstanding college basketball analyst, formerly of Big Ten Network, now with ESPN, John Crispin. Saw John in studio during one of the ESPN broadcasts earlier this week. He was in studio during the Penn State Maryland broadcast, which was on ESPN2 on Tuesday night. So we have those guests to look forward to. And also, we're going to have the continuation of our postseason high school football roundtables. Last one we had last month featured Kevin Herr, our play-by-play guy here on WKOK for Shikellamy football and basketball, as well as Justin Michaels, current Lewisburg High wrestling coach and also our terrific Lewisburg football analyst in the fall on 100.9 The Valley, and Todd Hummel, the lead high school football writer from the Daily Item. So we're going to have another roundtable today. We have three other guests that will be on our panel. Greg Wetzel, our Lewisburg play-by-play on 100.9 The Valley. Kevin Herr's broadcast partner, the Chief, Dave Ritchie. Dave will join us before heading off to the basketball game tonight, so we appreciate that from the Chief very much. So you get a double dose of the Chief next hour and later tonight here on WKOK. And also, the outstanding sports writer for the Williamsport Sun-Gazette. Doesn't matter if he's writing about baseball, the Williamsport Crosscutters. He's covered high school football for 2 decades. And also, his passion for high school wrestling shows in each and every line that he writes. Mitch Rupert will be joining us, too, next hour. So it'll be interesting and terrific to get Mitch's take on the topics and subjects in high school football that Steve will deliver next hour as the moderator of our high school football roundtable. So the baseball hot stove continues. Winter meetings have been rolling along. In case you missed it overnight, Anthony Rendon going to the Angels. 7 years, $245 million. So first 3 days of the week, not too shabby for Scott Boras, taking care of.
I know I woke up today worried about his financial situation.
Well, you must have been the only one that had Strasburg and the Coltrane and now Anthony Rendon, all of his clients. And for those who did not hear, the Mets signed Rick Porcello to a one-year, $10 million deal. That's one of the latest items from the hot stove.
Yeah. Porcello's, look, he signed that long-term deal with the Red Sox. He was a big reason why they won the World Series, so it does pay off. To me, if you win with guys, there's a payoff. All right? And it paid off because they did win. But there is also a point where you start looking at the numbers from this past season, you know darn well. Gotta go. All right, so. Let's see. We have a lot going on today. The roundtable is going to be very interesting. Because the last time we did the roundtable, there was one person that dominated all of it. We went back and listened to the tape. I mean, one person cannot have 82% of the airtime.
That what? 82? Wow. Maybe I'm used to it or something. I could have sworn it was spread out pretty evenly.
No. I mean, just
cut back on the Kool-Aid, I guess, or something.
No, I mean, he talked to the other guys. I mean, the other guys said they felt fresh at the end because they never talked. Okay, don't believe me. It was very even among everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe it.
You.
That's right. And in the end, can't get the other words out. All right, so.
I reminded our five-time College Bowl prediction champ. I said, I go, hey, yo. I said, tomorrow. 406. And he's like, can you remind me? I said, I just did. And he's like, hey, can you it's like, fine. Okay.
Remind you?
Hey, I...
he lives for this. Remind him.
Oh, I know.
Okay, it's only a certain level of arrogance even I'll take. Oh, I can't believe it.
Well, let's see. He called a Shikellamy basketball game on Tuesday night. He's got another one with the Chief tonight.
Oh, boy, he might be gassed. Imagine doing 32-minute games in a week.
So I think this could be it. We could be catching him at the right time that the streak could be gone.
Well, just so you know, I'll put my usual level of caring into it.
That's right.
yeah, great. Sure. Oh, I got it right? That's good.
There's a dartboard in the studio for a reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you do more than that.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. That was the great line from Norm in Cheers. Norm! Yes, how are you, Norm? It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. That was the other one, Sam Malone. Sam Malone, played by Ted Danson. Right? He says, ignore the problem. It'll go away. Kind of like the philosophy of this show.
Right.
Ignore the problem. It'll go away. Really? Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I can't believe it.
Although I did have to text your brother this morning. Maybe I'm trying to remember if he was closing on their new house this week, he and Claire, because I texted him over lunch hour, hey, we still need some pro picks for the end of the show tomorrow. So,
well, guys, I told Kevin Freeman, who's the assistant coach for men's basketball. He works with the big guys. And Kevin, of course, was on the 1999 UConn National Championship team. And then worked at UConn for many years. The irony is that, of course, Kevin lives at the end of the... my daughter, Jen, and her husband, Mike, actually live at the end of the street that Kevin's on at the front end of the street. So they live in the same street. And I said to him yesterday, I said, my brother just bought a condo in Storrs. He goes, really? he says, where in Storrs? I said, I guess it's pretty nice. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I says, okay. I thought I mentioned it to him. Where in Storrs? Near campus. He goes, that's all there is in Storrs. Everything's near campus. You know what the irony is?
What's that?
All the years I lived, grew up in Connecticut, holding, I not once have been to Storrs. I've never been to seen the campus. All those years I grew up in Connecticut, I've never seen the campus. Never saw the football stadium, never seen Gamble Pavilion, none of it.
Now, mentioned last week that compared to where the campus is and the football stadium, he said it was, what, 45 or so minutes away? Something like that?
Well, yeah, but when I mean the football stadium, I'm talking about the one that's on campus. They actually had a 16,000-seat on-campus football stadium when I was growing up. Rensselaer Field was just built a few years ago. It was built like 15 years ago.
And where you grew up, what was the distance between your place and the campus?
30 miles.
Okay. And never gone to it. Wow.
Never been there. Hmm. I've been to UMass a bunch. And Rensselaer Field I've been to because I covered the NCAA lacrosse championship there last spring. So, I mean, that's the only time I've been there. You look out over the runway in the back because that's where they built it on top of what used to be the runway because Pratt & Whitney builds jet engines. Well, in building jet engines, you do have to check to see if they work. So that's why they have that. Yeah. But, yeah, I've never been to the campus. And Penn State's never played UConn. In men's basketball. And obviously, I haven't played them in football. They never played them in men's basketball. There's only one time that they crossed paths, and Penn State played in the Connecticut Mutual Classic once at the Hartford Civic Center. And I did the games, and Penn State lost on the last play of the game to Arizona State and then played Columbia, and they beat Columbia in overtime, 84-79. This is like 1984, and it's really, I can tell you right now, Arizona State won 53-50, and then Penn State beat Columbia in overtime, 84-79. It is pathetic that to this day, 35 years later, I still remember the scores. You can once again, get me on the therapy trail for remembering stuff like that. But, yeah. But that's the only time they ever crossed paths, the only time I ever saw UConn play in person. How about that? I grew up in Connecticut. Only saw him play in person twice. That was the two games of the tournament I was doing. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
'Twas the days before Christmas, and all through the town, Sunbury Motors was where all the car deals were found. This holiday season will be filled with glee, because out in the driveway is a shiny new Ford from SMC.
At Sunbury Motors Ford, choose from over 20 new Ford Escape 4x4s with discounts up to $9,700. And they're priced as low as $23,915. Pick from over 110 new Ford trucks with savings up to $15,500. And they start as low as $26,794. Take up to $20,257 off of a lease of a 2019 Ford Fusion Energy. That's over half off. This amazing vehicle gets 103 mpg. 2019 Ford Expedition XLTs are slashed $11,550. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
SMC wishes you and your family a safe and joyous holiday season.
tomorrow our bowl picks, just a reminder to the five-time champion, you're expected to be on the show. If not, it'll be marked down as a miss on each one you miss tomorrow. You will go 0 for 41. And if we have to remind you one more time, you'll actually start out 0 for 20.
I think even him having to start out 0 for 1 and making that the Celebration Bowl, I think that would be a message heard strong enough to, yo, hightail it in here. Let's go. Chop, chop. Pick 'em, pick 'em. Defend your crown.
Listen to you getting, being bold and getting it done. I'm impressed. Years ago, you wouldn't have done that.
Let's see. Yeah, nah. Probably about 3.5 years ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have kowtowed to this clown. All right, so, come on.
Well, he had leverage back then. Emphasis on back then.
Right. I can tell you right now, you've got all the leverage now, buddy boy.
He's got to do something about that now. He's got to. We have to go into this thing like you and Ham do every August at the infamous Duquesne Classic, where all you have to do is hear the battle cry from one of the greatest pro football players of all time. We got to beat these guys. That's all we need. It's like you and I. It's like, we got to beat these guys. Yeah. The law firm of Kevin and Kevin. We got to beat these guys.
We'll be back. We'll be back. Like the fourth hole or something, and we're behind, and he'll lean over to me and goes, we got to beat these guys. I said, it's all right. Don't worry about it. We're okay here.
I realized I washed the last shot over on two, but we're early. We're good.
Well, my favorite was one where we played a hole. It didn't go well for him. Whatever, you know, because most of the time he plays really, really well. So please, like you should see some of the shots Jack hits. Now Moeller can really play. Moeller is a stone cold killer out there.
Mole man,
right. But Jack can really play, really good. Well, this happens to be a hole, a rarity. He didn't play well. So we're walking to the next tee. He says, "Oh man, I can't believe it." He says, "God, we're down one." I said, "What do you mean we're down one?" He says, "Yeah, it's that last hole." I said, "Jack, I parred the hole. We won it." He goes, "Oh, all right." Okay. He's all right, partner. Way to go. He said, "We're plus one." Yeah. We have a good time. Nobody can accuse us of not having a good time.
It's all about.
We have a good time. So, and tomorrow we'll do picks, and you know, if somebody becomes a 6-time champion, we're gonna have to hear about that for a year.
Yeah, I'm dreading it. Can't happen. It stops now.
Well, number one, he has no leverage over me. I could really care less. So, and the difference is he knows it. He doesn't listen. Doesn't understand. I'm the kingmaker. No, believe me, I get who you are.
Our guy. The exec.
It's
our guy.
He is capital T-H-E.
Getting it done.
Suit.
Actually, no suit, sweater today.
Oh, great, great. It's casual Thursday. If I'd only known.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A lot going on in college basketball, and great to bring in the guy's going to be a dad in the spring, John Crispin. Oh, John.
Yes. First off, thank you. We are very excited. My brother is probably most excited because now I get to, like, understand one-fifth of his plight.
Yes.
That guy just, like, apparently, like, he feels like it's his job to repopulate the world after every natural disaster. I don't know what the heck it is. Or have a starting five at Penn State one day. I'm not sure, but, yeah, he's had our hands full with his kids. You know, they live right in my backyard, basically.
Yeah.
So he's probably happy for me to feel a little bit of parenthood. But, you know, what he doesn't realize is I waited long enough to have children that, like, my life is already a little bit more established. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than being 24 and playing professional basketball overseas trying to chase kids around. So we waited until we moved back home where I have all the resources in the world, all the help in the world. So who would have thought that I'm the smart one between the two of us, right?
Well, I'll tell you something about overcoming the odds on that one. So now you're going to go from Uncle John to Dad.
Yeah.
See, Uncle John can leave anytime Uncle John wants.
Yeah, but the Dad John is ready. The Dad John is ready to be responsible for someone other than himself.
But you're going to be an awesome dad. I already know that.
And we did find out Thursday. We did find out it's a boy. So, we're excited either way, but there's definitely a little something special about that for me at least.
That'll be really cool. Congratulations. You know how thrilled I am for you. This college basketball season, to me, is defined by nothing. There is no dominant team, and there is no dominant player. Am I being fair?
You are being absolutely fair. I always say, and people get all sensitive about this because people are just sensitive, which is ironic considering we're like the most offensive society in the world, yet we're also the most censored. Which, again, who knows? Who knew? But, you know, you look at college basketball, I say, no one's really that good, but everyone's pretty good.
Yeah.
And people don't like to hear that, but that's the reality of it. No one is really that good as a team. And this, it makes sense when you think about some of the best talent in college basketball. They're all young. How do you expect them to have chemistry? How do you expect, on top of the fact that they plan on being in school for one season, and I don't even say 1 year, I say one season.
Right.
I mean basketball season. These kids come in, they expect to be in school for one season, basketball season. And then they're gone. So there's not a buy-in to being a part of something bigger than yourself. You know, there's not a buy-in to investing in a program. I think what you're seeing happen, and this is kind of the precursor to the NBA lifting the whole one-and-done, you know, we'll take kids out of high school again. What's going to happen is basically what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years. The experienced teams with good culture, with good chemistry, will be in the Final Four year in, year out, whereas there's elite talent teams with young freshmen who really don't really have that incentive to win outside of improve my draft stock. Those teams, they're going to go away. And eventually the Coach K's, the John Calipari's of the world may start to look at building teams again because those seem to be the teams that win championships. And as these coaches get older, they value championships more so than anything else. So, yes, the talent's there, but it's like uncontrolled talent. It's raw talent. And then you have a team that doesn't really fit together. It's the ideal time for a Penn State. It's the ideal time for an Ohio State. Teams that are built to be five guys working together as one. I know that sounds very Gene Hackman, Hoosiers-esque, but that's the reality of basketball.
Well, it is the reality of basketball. And there's something I pointed out earlier in the show, and I'll point out to you. Kentucky, for example, has some five-star talent. But you and I both know that there's different levels of five-star talent. There's not an Anthony Davis in the group, okay? There's not a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the group. There's not a John Wall in the group. They're just a different level of five-star.
Yeah, and I also think, Stephen, this is what's funny. No one wants to mention this, but the reality is the five-star kids, when you really find out what makes them a five-star kid, you start to question the whole star system. It's a political system. If you play for a certain AAU team, you're going to get a five star. If you put up 40 points in front of the right guy, and your coach has an in, you're going to be a five star kid. I mean, the whole concept of who's great—it's all hype. We really don't know. I mean, coaches are taking kids, going, "All right, look, Cole Anthony. Yeah, he's put up crazy numbers. He's going to be great.
Yeah.
But is he really going to make your program better 10 years from now?" And I said the same thing about Romeo Langford last year.
Yeah.
The game came too easy for him most of his life. And when it got tough, does he have the killer instinct in him to be better? And to me, the answer was no. And I think a lot of these kids,
I agree with
they're coming
you.
into college, and they're not killers. They don't have that Joe Crispin mentality.
Right.
And that's kind of what's missing.
I agree with it, because Romeo Langford was a perfect example to me of, I thought he was a good player, I didn't think he was a great player.
Yes.
Yeah. He finally got against comparable talent on an everyday basis. And I know he battled an injury, but I thought he was good, not great.
Yeah. But he came in, and he's supposed to be a godsend for Indiana basketball. And I remember saying at the time, and it was not popular opinion, I said, I don't think Romeo Langford makes you better 10 years from now. And if he doesn't make you better 10 years from now, he really doesn't help you today. And that was proven to be true. I mean, quite frankly, Indiana looks a little bit more like their coach today than they did last year.
Sure. No question. You were on a team that made it to the Sweet 16, but you were the young guy on that team. You were a sophomore.
Good luck convincing me of that.
but Joe Crispin, your brother, obviously Jazzy, Titus Ivory was a fifth-year player. Penn State was the older team a lot in that particular year in a game that they played. This Penn State team is an older team. For the first time in a while, what kind of difference does that make in today's game to have the older team?
Well, I think it's everything. I mean, you watch teams, and I watch body language more so than probably anybody else in college basketball.
Yeah, we've talked about that. Yeah, you and I have talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, you watch body language of a young team. Two shots get given up, and you see them melt. You see fear settle in. You see them shoot the ball differently. You see them try to get that lead back with one shot, one play, and they fall apart. Veteran teams, they've been through it. There's poise, there's understanding, there's rhythm, there's flow. They get all that. And they don't even get it consciously. They get it subconsciously. They don't have to think about it. Right. They've been there before. It's the power of experience, right? You know, it becomes the language that you speak. It becomes the world you live in because you're used to it. So I think the experienced teams are everything. Now, the key is experience with chemistry. Now, what separated our team in 2000 and 2001 from a lot of other teams out there was that we were experienced, and even myself, look, I came up every weekend since my junior year in high school because my brother was here, and I was a part of this team in so many ways.
Right.
I don't think there's an NCAA violation in there, but maybe I should be careful. We don't want that banner taken down for any reason, but no, it wasn't.
Not.
I came up to see my brother.
Right.
So I was in many ways a part of that same group that Joe was a part of.
Right.
So there was a chemistry there that people just didn't get. And that's what I hope this team's able to develop with some of the younger talent, with some of the experienced guys, where they can grow in chemistry. Because where you see it the most, and this is what concerns me about Penn State, and I think this is what you have to do. When a team gets really good, you have to start to pick them apart. And I would say I haven't picked apart a lot of Penn State teams because they haven't had this kind of potential.
Mm-hmm.
But this Penn State team, you need to start to look at the things that they struggle with. And to me, it is late-game situations, half-court offense. They get lost. And what I want to see is the Lamar Stevens. Even Mike Watkins, he's been around enough. He gets it. He knows it. I need to see these guys take control in a late-game situation and not make run a set and then look at each other going, all right, well, who's going to score? Like, that's where you want to see these things come together. And I would say that's the one thing that's separating them from being a legitimate top 20 team, not even a top 25 team. They're a top 20 team if they can figure out how to continue to execute in the half court, because that's where they get hurt in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
Year in, year out, teams figure out what you do really well, and they force you to win at what you don't do really well. And that's what I want to see, if this team can take that next step and be a good half-court offensive team with the experience that they have.
How important has it been that Penn State has not been has made sure that it didn't make one loss too? In other words, you lose a game, and then all of a sudden the next game, they have not had back-to-back losses.
Yeah, well, it's going to come down to Big Ten play. I think those are habits that you build. You know, when you lose a game, there's a sense of urgency. There's that intestinal fortitude and stick-to-itiveness and other goofy sports words that we use. but those things are real. Like, that's the mindset that we talk about. Like the anatomy of a winner. And when I say winner, people say, well, what's a winner? You mean win or lose? I said, no. There's something about some people that you just say, that dude's a winner. Joe Crispin is a winner. Titus Ivory is a winner. I mean, hands down, those are the guys. I think of those guys and say winners. Yep. Because not only do they know what it takes, they do what it takes. And I think that's ultimately what it's really going to come down to. Do you do what it takes to not compound mistakes? Do you do what it takes to make sure you bring it together and win the next game? You know, and quite frankly, I think, look, that Ohio State loss, they went up against a better team who can do the things that they do very well a little bit better. They're a little bit more physical. They have a little bit more depth and athleticism. They have guards that are very, I would say, poised but aggressive, which is really tough to defend. They don't make a lot of mistakes, that Ohio State team, and they're sure to make many mistakes against Penn State. So I didn't look at that game and say, wow, Penn State's not that good. I looked at that game and just said, Ohio State's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Penn State, they shouldn't have felt badly about that game, but I was paying attention to how they responded, and I expected them. And this is the difference between Penn State this year and Penn State in previous years. I expected them to beat Maryland.
Right.
I even said it to a lot of people without predicting it. I said, look, this is a really bad matchup for Maryland. The physicality, the depth, the freedom within these guards, their ability to defend the perimeter. I mean, this is a bad matchup for Maryland. I think Penn State wins this game. Well, lo and behold, Penn State just went out and handled business. And I think that's the anatomy of a winner.
Yeah, and that now, on the national basis, and you talk about the depth of the Big Ten. For example, Juwan Howard's come in, got off to a good start, lost at Illinois. But he's also brought with him some NBA concepts. He's also not tried to do the square peg round hole thing. I think he's handled the transition from John Beilein to himself because Juwan's not really a big ego guy. I mean,
no.
He's not. I mean, he's the kind of guy, when Bob Knight went to recruit him, he didn't go to Indiana. Juwan Howard's the only recruit that went out to the car to bring him in. He said, Coach, this isn't the greatest neighborhood going. I want to make sure you're okay. Just go in with me. Okay. Well, I mean, that tells you something about the guy, all right? So when you look at him and the concepts he's brought in from the pro game that he is used to, what kind of difference can that make in the college game?
Well, ultimately, our college game is becoming a blend of the Euro game and the NBA game.
Yes,
and
that's true.
We're trying to blend it even more so with rules, which I think we've gotten halfway there. We've gotten a little bit of the way there with the reset to 20. We've gotten a little bit of the way there expanding the three-point line. We need to widen the lane. You know, that's the next step to things. And I think eventually we go to a 24-second shot clock because everybody's trying to play faster anyway. And truth be told, you know, the 30-second shot clock is just an extra 6 to 10 seconds just to walk the ball up the court.
I'm trying to remember if the shot clock was ever a problem when you played, John.
No, it wasn't.
Of course not.
You know what the greatest thing about the shot clock ticking down was? It meant I was allowed to take a bad shot without getting taken out. That was the best thing about it. But it was a rarity that I had the ball in my hands because, as most people remember, I played with Joe. Let's be real. I mean, make a play.
At Kentucky, you hit two late clock threes against Kentucky. Okay, straight on top of the key. I can see it. I'm sitting here now. I can see it.
Yeah, we took the shots when we were open. But bottom line is, the best shot you get is likely the first look you get. And I've had this conversation with Tom Izzo, some of the best coaches out there, and you know, he said, "Gosh, these guys need to know what a good shot is and what a bad shot is." And I go, "How's that a bad shot, though? It's a bad shot because you don't have as much control in the game, but it's a good shot if you're a shooter because I can get my feet set, I'm square, I have room to get this shot off. You could work for 30 seconds and not get a better shot." That's the dagger three that we always had, that transition where I'm not going to get a better look.
Yep.
I might get taken out for missing it, but if I make this, it is a dagger. And I think that's the way the game's changed, where coaches are giving up a little bit of that control, and you see that with Juwan Howard. He's not trying to control the game. He's trying to create rhythm and flow. That's the NBA game. He doesn't have too many offensive sets. He has offensive action. The transition flows into secondary. There's drag ball screens. Some of the hardest things to cover at the professional level are near impossible to cover at the collegiate level because, honestly, we just don't have the time with these kids.
Right, exactly.
To work day in, day out to adjust how you cover ball screens, nor do they have that feel and understanding of the game yet. You know, the feel and understanding comes with experience of playing 80-plus games in a season.
Exactly.
That's how you develop that.
Yeah.
So he's bringing a lot of that NBA concepts to the college game, yet understands the college game really well. And I think that's what separates him from, I hate to say it, but the Penny Hardaways. Penny Hardaway's not coaching this team. He's really not. He's getting great players, but he's not doing a ton to coach this team. They got great talent. Can't imagine what it costs, but I think we have an idea.
I just ran across them in Brooklyn. As a matter of fact, they played NC State there. So
they're a wild card Final Four team.
Yes, they are.
Once they get Wiseman back,
yeah.
But where they'll struggle is when it comes down to continuity down the stretch. Who are you? What do you do? I think what Juwan Howard's doing that separates him is he's establishing who they are and what they want to do. And he's done it by building on the foundation. I think of it like an addition to a big home. You know, the big home already has a foundation. It's already a pretty home. Do you want to tear down the pretty home and build on the foundation? Or do you want to add to the pretty home? I think what Juwan Howard's doing is he's adding to the pretty home.
Right.
He's not taking anything away. He's keeping the defensive principles for the most part. He's keeping the principles of ball movement that John Beilein had, creating offensive actions with options and read and react, but he's bringing in more NBA-like offensive actions that create scoring opportunities or scoring plays, winning plays. And I think that's what separates him from the rest. That's what separates him from, Chris Mullin. He never really got it going. That's what separates Patrick Ewing from some of those guys. That guy works, man. They really work. And I give those guys a lot of credit because we often forget. We think, oh, what a great opportunity for Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard's made $200 million in his life.
Yeah.
Is he look at this the same way that us common folk look at it? No. So it takes a little something extra to buy into doing what you need to do to make a winner. And I give Juwan Howard all the credit in the world for that.
Because you know what? He made a decision, actually a few years ago, I want to be a coach. And
yeah.
So he invested himself, even though he was still an active player, he invested himself in the coaching part of it because he wanted to be a coach. And I, Ewing did that too. And obviously,
no, there's another guy I'm thinking of. Come on, he's really close to me.
At Rowan?
Yeah, Joe wrote books while he was playing.
Oh, I remember
about offense
because
he wanted to write the book from a player's perspective so he could understand it better when he coached.
I remember seeing it when we were at Illinois one time.
Those are the guys that they invest in themselves.
Yeah.
So they can, in the future, they can invest in their team. And I really do. It's humbling to me because they don't need it. They got an NBA pension. They got more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's about the competitor in them. And I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, no, I do too. Because, again, I really respect somebody that it doesn't really matter how much money they made, what their name happens to be. They invested themselves in a profession.
Yes.
And that's what he did. It wasn't just, I'm done as a player, but I want this to be my lifelong profession, and I don't need the cash to do it. I just really want to do it. And he wants to be good at it, and I think I give him a lot of credit for that. I always give you a lot of credit because you're one of the best in the business. You know that. I am thrilled beyond words about the baby and that you're transitioning from Uncle John to Dad.
Yeah, we are excited. Although my wife is saying, like, oh, are we going to have a little Hoosier? And I go, yeah, right. I found a bunch of problems with Bloomington that I was like, I just don't think it's going to work to send our kids there, Dave. I'm sorry.
Oh, believe me, I'm on your side on that one.
I think State College is a great place for mom and dad to settle down in when those college years come around. And hopefully, 15, 20 years from now when that happens, we have like maybe an Uncle Joe who's the head coach there.
Yeah.
Just saying. That'd be great.
Well, something tells me that nephew Crispin would probably get 30 shots a game.
He could be a manager on the team and still find a way to get 30 shots a game.
Thanks, John. Hey, we got to go. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. I look forward to seeing you, Steve.
I can't wait to see you, John. Thanks.
See you, brother.